Hey, you want that to go?
Time for takeouts on stories we're following this week. We're going to go to the nation's capital in a moment. But first, let's go to the state capital of Arizona, where the House of Representatives passed the toughest state law now existing against illegal immigrants ever.
It essentially requires everybody in the state of Arizona to carry identification with them.
That's Jennifer Allen, executive director of the Border Action Network. She says the bill basically makes it legal for state police to racially profile, but the bill's sponsor, Republican Russell Pierce, says this is a case of lawmakers making a tough cure for tough problems.
We become the home invasion, carjacking, identity theft capital of the nation. Enough is enough.
Let's get more details now from Mark Brody, reporter and host at member station KJZZ in Phoenix, Arizona. Mark, we should say that this is not a law yet in Arizona because it hasn't gone through the Senate or been signed by the governor, but that's kind of a foregone conclusion, right?
A little bit, yeah. This is a Senate bill that went to the House. It was amended, as you said, in the House. It now goes back to the Senate, which could happen today. It could happen in the next few days. Once that happens, the final vote in the Senate, approval is expected. It then goes to Governor Jan Brewer.
So explain to me exactly how this law works.
Wow, there's a lot in this bill. It's considered a pretty...
Let's talk specifically about the powers of the police now.
Sure. Well, basically, one of the key provisions is it would do away with what's known as sanctuary policies, where agencies don't allow or don't require their officers to inquire about the immigration status of the people with whom they come into contact. This bill would require officers to ask about the immigration status of people that they come into contact with the exceptions of if it would hinder or obstruct an investigation. A lot of folks had said, well, this is going to hurt the ability of witnesses and victims to come forward if they're illegal because they're not going to want to get deported. So the provision of hindering or obstructing an investigation was put in there. It also, as you said, created a crime for people who can't basically prove that they're in the country legally. So it really does potentially give police a lot more authority here.
But I can only imagine that places like the ACLU and other rights groups are getting ready to file lawsuits as soon as the governor puts the signature down on the paper. This would expand powers to force people to say that being here in the United States without a green card or without permission, just their presence here is a crime.
Yeah, and it's interesting because an earlier version of this bill had expanded the state's trespassing law to make it a state crime to be in the country illegally. That was taken out and basically replaced with the provision that you mentioned.
You know, this idea that your existence is a crime, what do courts say about that, Mark?
Well, I think that's something that we're all going to find out. A lot of the opponents of this bill have said in debate and have said outside of debate that this bill is a lawsuit or a series of lawsuits waiting to happen. One of their arguments is, especially at this time, the state can't afford that at a time when there are multi-billion-dollar budget deficits. They say this is especially now not a time to be inviting lawsuits that are going to cost the state money.
Okay, Mark Brody is a reporter and host at KJZZ in Phoenix, Arizona.
It's a huge reversal. The burden of proof is on you to show that you're here legally. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us with our second takeout. The tragic mine explosion, which killed 29 miners and injured others in Montcoal, West Virginia, has been an opportunity for Congress to really weigh in on mine safety. What's going on down there, Todd?
Well, they're just starting to weigh in. Good morning, John. Federal and Virginia state mine officials on Capitol Hill and in Washington both yesterday and today. Yesterday, Hilda Solis, the labor secretary, was briefed. And today, and also briefings on the Hill yesterday for members of the West Virginia delegation. More of those briefings are expected today. Senator Jay Rockefeller of West Virginia is getting a briefing from federal and state mine officials today. At least that's on his schedule. And he has some questions for them. I spoke to him yesterday afternoon about what he wants to hear, and his statement was, I have to say it was rather stark. Listen to Rockefeller.
You know, it's a question of how much of it was methane, how much of it was dust. In the final analysis, you kind of hope it was methane, because if it was methane, then people died with their first breath. I mean, you don't say that happily, but in other words, people didn't suffer.
They live the mining industry in the state of West Virginia. Todd, what's the target here as far as you can tell? Is it Massey Energy, the owner of the mine in the disaster, or is it the industry in general dealing with methane?
Well, it's going to be Massey, it's going to be the industry in general, and it's certainly going to be the Federal Mine Safety Health Administration, which is part of the Labor Department. They're the mine police, and they've been under scrutiny for years. Remember the Sago mine disaster two and a half years ago, John? There was a crackdown on they're called MSHA. There was a crackdown on MSHA after that. Senators and congressmen are already eyeing another one, and there are lots of issues at play. Do they have enough inspectors? How was it that Massey Energy, which was allegedly a chronic repeat violator, managed to stay open? I spoke to Congressman Nick Rahal. He's also of West Virginia, and the Upper Branch Mine is in his district. He's looking at the adjudication process and how Massey was allowed to stay open. Listen to Rahal.
The adjudication process of these violations certainly has come to light as being one that's lengthy and perhaps purposely drawn out in many cases in order to prevent the operator from hitting the red flag list or the bad man's list.
And of course, Todd, all this comes in the context of energy demand for coal being higher than really almost any time in our history.
Well, coal mines are staying open. There's no doubt about that, even as Congress tries to debate a climate change bill. But in the short term, there are official hearings scheduled for next week on Capitol Hill. The hearings begin on the Upper Branch Mine. And today, the Labor Secretary and the mine safety officials go to the White House to meet with the president. And we should know more because President Obama is scheduled to make a statement on mine safety from the Rose Garden later on this morning.
All right, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Thanks for that.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.